And welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street. 265-1886 is the number for Capone's. 264-4905 if you want to call in and talk to us here at the studio. We're talking lots of NBA. NBA season officially tipped off last night. The big sequence, I guess, is coming later on tonight. But last night, a myriad of games. The Lakers got their championship rings. We'll talk a little bit about Phil Jackson's scenario later on in the show.
What, that ceremony was, I don't know, it was good, but I mean, for all the stars over there, they brought out all the former champions from the team. Why on earth was Rick Fox there? Seriously, Rick Fox? I mean, yes, he won those three NBA championships, but Rick Fox, seriously, what did that guy ever do?
I mean, he was a good three-point shooter, but
he was that guy. He was that stereotypical guy.
He was that bench guy.
No, yeah, exactly. He was that stereotypical guy that kind of just fit in, and he didn't say much because he knew if he spoke up, they might say, really, this guy's still hanging around?
He was the guy that was along for the ride,
basically. He was. He was along for the ride.
He helped out a little bit, but he was along for the ride.
And then what was his wife? Was his wife Vivica Fox?
Vivica A. Fox.
Did he take her name or something? That's a weird situation.
I thought
he dated Vanessa Williams. Wasn't that his wife, Vanessa? Who knows?
I don't know. I'm usually confused.
I'm usually good with the pop culture situation. But
Some movie star. What does it matter?
The whole ceremony that they had, it was iffy at best. I wasn't a big fan. I wasn't moved
by
it.
They did beat the crosstown rivals in the Clippers, but not a big win.
It was really like a homecoming game. It was embarrassing to watch.
The mop-up game against the Clippers.
There were a lot of over-under bets going, or just bets on whether Kobe would cry or fake cry, really. Not really cry, but fake cry when they brought down the banner and he got his ring. And it didn't happen.
Why would he even cry? I mean,
some guys do that.
He's already won three championships, though. But this one was his.
I mean, in all honesty, this was him being a man, stepping up and running a team.
See, I don't know. I think this was another collaborative effort. I mean, this one
from
was.
Who?
From
it was Shaq and Kobe, the other three. This one was Kobe. Kobe, and you're all along for the ride.
I think there's a lot of good players on that team.
Of course, Trevor Ariza. Complimentary players, though, but they weren't star players. When it was Shaq and Kobe, it was two stars. This team, it was one star, and my name is Kobe Bryant.
I don't know. I could have said that if he had won it like 2 or 3 years ago before you get Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, Lamar Odom.
He didn't do anything. He wasn't a game changer. He complimented him.
Yeah, but I mean, if he doesn't have those pieces, Kobe doesn't win that title.
Exactly, but you could have said that with all the other players on
the team. But that's what I'm saying. It would have been Kobe by himself 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but it's like LeBron. Right. It's LeBron. Same thing. If LeBron wins a championship, it's going to be his
title. Dwayne Wade with the Heat right now, if he were to win one, it would be Dwayne Wade's title. But, I mean, if he adds somebody else, then I don't think so.
See, I'm not on the same page with you. We're going to keep moving, though.
Dwayne Wade doesn't have anybody else around him. That's what I'm saying. Kobe does.
Talking the NBA, Celtics and Cavs last night, the game of the night, really, because as you talked about, it was Lakers and Clippers. Celtics, they're proving they're not going to be messing around. The Cavaliers didn't lose a home game last year until the 24th game. February, I think, 14th or February 4th was the first game they lost a home game last year. Sorry, we're getting out of the way on opening night this year because they lost at home to the Celtics. The Shaq and Kobe and LeBron experiment didn't get off to a great start. It was all LeBron, not a lot of Shaq.
It's one game, though.
No, exactly. But I think what we saw, and we talked about this on Monday, this was a snapshot of what we're going to see for the early going with the Cavaliers because Shaq, as good as he is and as great as he pushes the team over the edge, there's a good feeling out period. We saw it with Phoenix. We saw it with Heat. With the Heat, not so much. But in the later portion of his career, we've seen this where he goes to a team and he's very disruptive to the offense because he does take up so much space. He isn't in the prime of his career like he was before. And LeBron's game is so predicated upon driving and taking the ball off the dribble and getting to the hoop. When Shaq's down there, he eats up so much space. And the problem the Cavaliers have right now, and Mike Brown has acknowledged this, Shaq is a great passer, but do you really want your offense running through Shaq in the low post? And of course not. Not when you got a guy like LeBron James on your team. So I think the Cavaliers will be a good team. They will be a top three team in the East this year. But I think we're going to see it's not going to be as easy as people predicted, this Lakers-Cavaliers final that people are dreaming up. I don't think it's going to happen. But what we saw in the Celtics was Kevin Garnett's back, Paul Pierce is back, Ray Allen's back, Rajon Rondo is back, and hello, Rasheed Wallace. This is the best team in the Eastern Conference as it stands right now, and I think they will be across the whole season.
Yeah, barring injuries or anything else, I think with Kevin Garnett, they're a completely different team. Ray Allen can only do so much. We'll see how Rondo's situation plays out, whether or not he gets traded or continues to be a distraction. We'll see.
He's not going to get traded, but I think
we'll see how Rasheed Wallace affects that locker room as well. Right now, it's working out. out, and it, you know, it's nothing but
he's always
candy
been a great
flowers.
Player. He wasn't a bad player in Detroit.
Yeah, but he's a cancer in the locker room.
What are you talking about? Detroit, he was the best teammate there was.
He has the NBA record, sole possession of the NBA record in most technicals. Most
that's got nothing to do with
fouls,
being a bad
everything.
Team player. That's got nothing to do
that
with
does.
Being a
that,
bad team
that
player.
That means you lose your head in games.
But he does it. It's like in hockey when you start a fight. It's got nothing to do with you. You start a fight.
So how's he helping his team if he's getting thrown out all the time?
He's not getting thrown out
or
all
if he's
the
getting
time.
Technicals.
He gets technicals more than anybody, but he's a great team player. There's a difference between
I'm not saying he's not a great player. I'm just saying
you have to recognize there's a difference between being a team cancer and then affecting your team. He's not a team cancer. He's one of the best team players in the NBA, period.
I have to disagree. I think those technicals have to distract the team after a while.
You obviously haven't been watching Pistons basketball over the past 5 years.
I've watched Pistons basketball for the last 5 years.
Those guys have been buddy-buddy all across.
I watched Portland Trailblazers ball for all those years,
too. He was a different player back then.
He was the one that kept them from getting into
championships. He was a different player back then. He's at the end of his career, and what we've seen with a lot of these NBA players in the twilight of their career.
All I know is what I'm saying. What I'm seeing in preseason. I still saw technicals galore with him in the preseason.
What everybody saw last night was Celtics 95, Cavaliers 89 on the Cavaliers home court. So I think it's going to be a great year for the Celtics. Look for them to get back to the finals. I do see that happening this year. They're hungry, and apparently last night, after the butt-whooping they gave the Cavaliers late in the game, they went in the locker room, watched the Lakers get their rings, and got that extra motivation, and they said to one another, we want that. We want that back. They felt like last year they couldn't do it because of the injuries. This year, as you said, if they're healthy, and I do think they will remain healthy.
They have a deep team.
They're the deepest team in the NBA, in my opinion, definitely in the East, so that's going to be good. The Lakers game, forget about it. It's not even worth talking about. They played the Clippers without Blake Griffin, who's going to be out for however knows how long with his injury he has going on. So, once again, they're calling it the Clippers curse. So we'll find out what's going on with that. But the other things of interest, really, as you said, really getting underway in earnest today on the NBA schedule. When I'm talking about Bobcats, and I'm torn. I've gone back and forth over the past few months talking about the Bobcats. If you talked to me in June after the season ended, I would have said, wow, it's going to be a great year for the Bobcats this year. You talked to me in August and September, wow, the Bobcats did nothing while everybody else in the East got better. That's my opinion of the Bobcats right now. Where does that put them? It's tough to say because you look at them and you say, well, another year under Coach Larry Brown. You get another year with Raymond Felton as the premier point guard for this team under Larry Brown. You have to think he's going to get better. Another year as a unit. There's only two guys that were with this team last year when Larry Brown took over the job. So that's Gerald Wallace and Raymond Felton. So I think as a unit, now that there's that cohesion, you have to think they improve on that front. But they did nothing, next to nothing, outside of Flip Murray, who's going to be a guy off the bench. Nothing besides Flip Murray to address the scoring needs of this team. And last year, Brandon, dead last, 32nd in the league in scoring. And it was downright embarrassing how bad that team was on offense. 93.6 points per game. The Bobcats scored just dead last in the league. The best team, obviously, was Phoenix, 109.4 points per game. But you look at the Bobcats, if you had to ask me right now, does this team make the playoffs? I say yes. And I don't say yes because they're the eighth best team in the Eastern Conference. I say yes, I say they are the eighth best team. I don't think they have the eighth best talent in the East. Let me say that. I think there are 10 better teams than the Bobcats on paper, but I think the Bobcats will do enough. Other teams will struggle, and they'll find their way into the eighth playoff spot.
Let me give you the reason why I think the Bobcats can make the playoffs, because they have six guys on this team that have scored over 11 points a game, and I think
as a unit, they're the worst.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let me say it. I think they'll only improve. They've got guys all in their prime. It's Larry Brown's team now. This is exactly what he wanted.
Rajah Bell, a key part, is injured, and he's in the twilight of his career.
He's only going to be out for a week, so we'll see
how that goes. Boris Diaw's in the twilight of his career.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
they're not in the prime, though. They're in the back end.
No,
the back nine.
I think Boris Diaw's in the perfect part of his career right now to be able to add to this team. I think Tyson Chandler's. I think Raymond Felton's only started to kind of dust off what he's capable
of. Some of the key guys they're depending on.
DJ Augustine is young. This team is under the age of 26. The median age, or the average age, is under 26. Years old. This is a young team.
But
I don't know how you can
look
say
at that.
That they're old.
Look at the key players. Boris Diaw's old. Rajah Bell's old. You look at a guy in Tyson Chandler who's been injured his whole career.
You want to look at the Pistons. If you want to look at what Larry Brown's been able to do, he turns teams around. He turns them into playoffs, with exception to the Knicks, where there's no hope for them for at least a few more years. He turns teams around. He did it with the Pistons. He had an old Rasheed Wallace, an old Ben Wallace. He had a out of, you know, not even belonging to NBA Chauncey Billups, who's too overrated and wasn't a good player, turns him into one of the best point guards in the league. He knows how to get talent. He took Rip Hamilton from the Wizards into, I mean, where he was just not even known, into a star player. Now he drafted Tayshaun Prince. This is his team. But this is why the Bobcats are going to make it. They've got Gerald Henderson, who I think is going to be good.
Flip Murray. He can't score, though. It's another defender who can't score. Why do you need another one of those?
We haven't seen enough of him, though. I still don't think we've seen enough of him.
He couldn't score in the college game. How's he going to score in the NBA, Brandon?
He's in the mold of... I think he can. He's a good inside... He knows how to drive to the hole. I don't think he has an outside game, but he knows how to drive to the hole, and that's what they need. Raymond Felton's another good player, and I think if you look at this team, Nazim Muhammad's going to step his game up. If Tyson Chandler can stay healthy and Rajah Bell is not too badly injured, I think this team is going to be a good team.
But I think you answered it for yourself. There's a lot of ifs with this team. If they can do this...
Well, there's
if
ifs
they can
with
do
any
no,
NBA
But
team.
I think if you look at the best teams, the top eight teams in the NBA, they do their... They control their own destiny. If they win, they win, period. They don't need other teams to suck, and they don't need big ifs from their
Bobcats
other players.
The Bobcats don't need it either. Kevin Garnett, if Kevin Garnett wasn't an if last year, the Celtics would have won, and I think that's the difference.
We'll talk more Bobcats in a second. Joining us right now, the man who had a huge day on Saturday, Black Saturday, 7 receptions, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns, wide receiver for your Mountaineers, Coco Hillary. Coco, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How was practice?
Oh, man, long day today, man. We was out here by 2.5, man. Tough one this week, man, trying to get ready for Furman.
Are they still running you guys into the ground 2 weeks in a row?
Oh, yeah. you know, we come out and work hard every day, man. And, you know, it's pretty much the same routine every week. Got to do it to win on Saturday.
Well, I want to talk about you for just a second because, as I just mentioned, you had 7 receptions, 104 yards, got over that 100-yard plateau, 2 touchdowns on Saturday against Georgia Southern. And just a week before that against Wofford, you were a yard short of getting 100 yards. You had that one reception at the end of the game that we all know was complete, but they said it was incomplete.
Oh, yeah.
How big was it for you to have a big game, especially against Georgia Southern, and get that revenge from Black Saturday 2 years ago?
Oh, man, it was big, man. Like I said, last week we came out, we prepared hard, man, 3-4 days. And it was just good to get rewarded, you know, with a big game on Saturday. You know, I got to give credit to, you know, everybody on offense and the defense side of the ball. We all made it happen, and just so happened I had a great game and got over the 100-yard mark, man. It was truly a blessing.
Now, you're going down to Furman, Coco, and this is a place where, you know, the Paladins, they play tough, much like any other SoCon team. And this is a team that barely lost to Elon, beat Samford, but lost to the Citadel. How do you go into this game? SoCon's been so unpredictable. How do you prepare for this Paladin team going down, knowing that they have played some of the premier teams in the SoCon so close, but then came off a loss last week?
Well, I mean, you got to prepare mentally for Furman. They always a good disciplined team. They're going to be where they need to be, you know, in the right places at the right time. And, you know, they're going to do their job. And you just got to make sure you do your job with them because, like I said, they're real physical, real mentally, you know, mentally stable. And I think if we go out and just do the things we did in practice this week, I think we'll be okay.
Coco, do you feel like this team's hitting its stride right now? I mean, you've won 5 in a row at this point after starting 0-2. The offense is the number one offense in the country right now, and the defense finally had a really stellar game on Saturday. You feel like you're hitting your stride at the right time?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely, man. This late in the season, we're getting in the meat of our schedule. I mean, to put up the points we have, you know, the last couple games and the way the defense played the last couple games, I really think we are, you know, actually hitting our peak, and it's just the right time to do it, you know, going late on the season and hopefully, you know, praying for good hopes in the playoffs. I mean, it's no better time to do what we're doing right now than now.
Now, Coco, we were talking earlier in the show about the difference of a good quarterback on a team, and we were talking about the Panthers and how Jake Delhomme is really hurting his team chances. But now that you have Armani Edwards, you know, back behind center, you know, playing week in, week out, now that you have number 14 throwing to you, what does that mean to you? What does it mean when he's throwing up stats that are comparable to Tim Tebow out there and even better on some regards?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got the best quarterback in the country, you know, standing back there behind some of the best offensive linemen in the country. I mean, you can't ask for nothing better. You know, they're giving him the time, and he's making it happen. And, you know, we work hard for him, he work hard for us, and we always on the same page. I mean, you know, it's just like having, you know, somebody back there that you've been knowing for your whole life. I mean, he know where we're going to be. You know, he's expecting us to be at a certain place, and, we try our best to do our job and for him to get us the ball. And it's just a reward for somebody that, you know, with greater talent and, you know, mentally and physically prepared every week to be your quarterback, man. I couldn't ask for nothing better.
Coco, I want to ask you about the offensive unit as a whole because you guys, especially as a wide receiving core, have just been dangerous. Matt Klein has had a big year. Brian Quick's had another big year. You've had a big year yourself. Do you guys not care who gets the ball? You're just all, you know, you're all so good that they can't focus on any one of you without making somebody else pay. Do you guys go out there and really motivate one another and try and pat each other on the back?
Oh, yeah, exactly, man. We had that mentality since fall camp. I mean, since fall camp, we've been saying, you know, when we break it down, we say together on three every time, every day, every practice, and, you know, after every meeting, you know, because we play together as one unit. You know, nobody cares who gets the ball. We all going to block for each other the same. You know, we all going to praise each other when we score and make big plays. You know, when somebody else feel like when somebody else did something, you feel like you did it too, because we all work so hard in practice, and everybody give it 100%, and you just feel like the person beside you that's lined up ain't nothing but your brother. And it's just a great feeling. We never had a receiving corps like this since I've been here, and it's just a good feeling to have those guys right beside you.
Now, what's the difference from going from last year to this year in the locker room? I know last year the team kind of lacked a true leader, and it seemed like there wasn't a presence. What's been the difference? What's been the change from last year to this year?
I just think, man, we last year we had a young team. I mean, I think a lot of guys that we have on the team now played a lot last year, and we pretty much self motivated. I mean, we know what we got to do, you know, week in and week out. I mean, you got to step up to the plate and be responsible and do your job. And I think we got 22 guys on the field every Saturday that does that. You know, some of the young guys just playing, some of the freshmen. You know, I think they feed off some of the older guys. You know, that just know what to do from the past few years, and I think that's what it is. There's no one leader. I think we're just more of a unit this year than we was last year.
Coco, we were talking about Armani just a second ago, and I was putting his numbers against Tim Tebow's numbers earlier in the week, and his numbers blow Tim Tebow's out of the water. Tim Tebow is obviously considered to be a Heisman candidate. Does Armani really deserve to be a Heisman candidate? Because in my mind, he does. But as a player and as a wide receiver, how good is that guy?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, you turn on the tape, you know, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You can tell that, and he deserves to be a Heisman candidate. I mean, he's doing stuff on his level, on our level, that nobody's doing in the country. I mean, you know, some of the plays that guy makes is you know, uncanny. You know, some stuff you can't draw up on a board. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's pretty much self-explanatory. You know, Tim Tebow is a great player, and I think he got a lot of hype because, you know, of course he's at Florida and got a lot of talent around him. But, I mean, it's the same thing here. I mean, Armani Edwards is a great quarterback, has a lot of talent around him, and he just make stuff happen, man, with or without whoever else on the outside. I mean, you can count on that guy to, you know, get you the first down when you need him, make the right read, make the right throw, you know, every week, every game, every play. So, I mean, of course, I mean, it's 100%. I think he should be, you know, up for the Heisman, no doubt.
Coco, we'll quit talking X's and O's for just a second before we let you go. Furman's having a whiteout. They're wearing all white on Saturday. You guys are breaking out the gold jerseys again. You guys like that as a unit?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can change it up, man, you know, put on a color like gold. I mean, that's flash and dash right there.
Yeah, they're fresh.
That's fresh, man. You know, come out there and make you feel good, man. You look good, you play good. That's my motto. So, you know, I mean, of course we're going to look good in that gold. And when we step on that field, I think it's going to give us a lot of confidence, man, a lot of drive, you know, a lot of want to win. I mean, you really can't lose in those jerseys, you know, at least try not to.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll be shining those jerseys. You'll be shining with your play on the field. Coco, have another good game on Saturday, okay?
Hey, man, appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Coco Hillary, wide receiver for your Appalachian State Mountaineers. 104 yards on 7 receptions, 2 touchdowns on Saturday. Had a huge game. I think he's going to do it again against Furman.
I think he's kind of emerged as that go-to target. Matt Klein's also up there, but now I think Coco's kind of reestablished himself as Armani's number one target. And I think that's an important thing. When you have so many receivers that are so familiar, so like each other, and kind of run the same type of plays, you kind of want one guy that can break out. Brian Quick is definitely one of those guys that can have those big yardage, but you want a guy that's consistent on a basis. And I think Coco Hiller is now the new number one, and Matt Klein's number two.
And I tell you what, I've heard a lot of fans think Coco is not a good guy. He's a diva. He wants the ball all the time. You got to be kidding me. That's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He wants the ball in his hands because he thinks he gives them the best chance to win, like any football player ever would. I just tell you that right now. The guy's fresh. He's wearing those gold jerseys on Saturday. How about that?
I mean, you don't see – I'm sorry. I have to go back to this. You don't see Michael Jordan say, no, pass me the ball or anybody.
LeBron,
like that.
Same thing. LeBron, you see, that's why I like T.O. because T.O. is always a guy who said, it's not that I'm selfish. I think I give my team the best chance to win. Give me the ball. I mean, sometimes it comes across a little abrasive, and maybe that's how fans do it with Coco. Coco's a great guy. Appreciate him taking the time to talk to us. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll continue the NBA talk for just a little bit. Then we're going to get into some MLB talk. The World Series getting underway tonight. The Fightins and the Yanks in the Bronx.
Classic.
Are they going to play? It's rainy and 42. Nasty out.
I mean, 42 degrees is not going to be the key. It's going to be the rain. But they already canceled the concert between Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. They've moved it to Game 2 now. So we'll see.
Everybody's missing out on that one. More Sports Out the Wazoo coming up next on your college, your station, your music even. 90.5 WASU-FM online at WASURocks.com.